Hello. Hello, respected viewers. Too much light from there, is there? So thank you for coming back to my channel. I'll do this one here. Okay. So anyway, I'm George from Ireland. So talking about the Ukrainian counteroffensive, which Zelensky confirmed a few days ago is underway, but it's making only very modest progress, you know, taking like a couple of kilometers so far in southern Ukraine, and indeed going ahead in east Ukraine, just taking a few back a few hamlets and villages. But that's partly because it seems, according to Western analysts, that the Ukrainians have actually not put most of their troops into the conflagration yet. They're holding them in reserve. So they seem to be just testing the strength of the Russian defenses. And they say these defenses are formidable. You know, they've had months to build them up. It's no surprise that the counteroffensive has come. It's just a question of when it was going to come and somewhat where. But so the Russians tried to close off everywhere. So they've dug all these anti-tank trenches. They put lots of mines, sometimes, you know, barbed wire, machine gun nests, artillery, and all the rest of it. So they also say, you know, the engineers, they can get through any defenses, but it takes time. The trouble is you're going to then try to, you know, defuse or explode the mines or whatever, or fill in the anti-tank trench, use various vehicles that can get over some of these defenses whilst under fire. If you're not under fire, it's almost easy. It just takes you some time. And obviously, if you are under fire, it's going to take a lot longer. And then you have to be stationary whilst doing this. And a static target's a lot easier to hit than a moving target. But remember, the Russians are in their trenches, and they're vulnerable too, because, you know, they can be hit by artillery, by missiles and so on. The question is, are NATO and European countries going to supply a sufficient number of artillery pieces, or the munitions, the missiles, the rockets, the drones and so on, to hit the Russians whilst they are stationary in their trenches? Now, it could be that these initial attacks are just decoys. And where's the main thrust going to come? It could be the Ukrainians in the dark themselves haven't actually decided. But there's a lot riding on this one, because if this fails, then there'll be a diminution of political will. Already the Republican Party in the United States, some of them are saying they're giving Ukraine too much military aid. So far as I know, nobody's saying they should be giving them none. They're just going to give them less. And the calls to cut military aid to Ukraine will only grow louder if this investment is seen to have been a poor one and there's very little dividend comes from it. So obviously that's what Putin is banking on, sapping the will of Western countries to carry on arming and funding Ukraine, or to running the risk of nuclear war. You know, he periodically harps on about thermonuclear war. And Russian television, they're saying almost every day, you know, well, the ground zero in London's going to be here. They don't talk about anything much about the United States. One of Russia's vulnerabilities, if it did come to that, and please God, it will never come to a nuclear exchange, is you don't have to take out one city. Almost everything's in Moscow. Not only does it have something like 15% of the population, but in terms of the top universities, hospitals, everything, even airports, it's got so much. It's incredibly dominant as a capital. And the elite, over 90% of them live in Moscow. Whereas, you know, the United States, in a way, is a lot more diffuse. Yes, they've got Washington, D.C., which is actually a comparatively small city for a capital. Even New York, yeah, quite big. But, you know, that's like 3% of the U.S. population. There's so many more cities to take out. So being over-centralized has actually put Russia at greater risk. Ukrainian artillery says that they're striking many Russian positions close to Bakhmut and so on. Near Malyar, near Bakhmut, the Ukrainians have advanced at 3 kilometers. I even wonder whether there's going to be a pincer movement to try and surround some of them there, or to attack, especially when the Wagner group were withdrawing and being replaced by the regular Russian army. They said it's actually a quite tricky operation to do this relief operation. Putin, he made these ridiculous claims about how they'd, over the past week, destroyed 160 Ukrainian tanks and 350 Ukrainian other armored vehicles. The thing is, and they did show some footage of Russian soldiers clambering over these German-made Leopard tanks and American-manufactured Bradley armored fighting vehicles. And that appeared to be genuine, with the engine still intact, suggesting the Ukrainians got out of them and run away. They're not being damaged in the battle. So I think that's for real. I'm not sure, it might have been hoaxed. They do like to fabricate footage a lot. So some losses for the Ukrainians, but it won't be anything like 160 tanks. That'd be about 20% of their tank fleet in 1 week. Come on. I mean, They probably haven't destroyed 160 Ukrainian tanks in the whole war, let alone in 1 week. So another Pinocchio war going to Ukraine there. The really one worrying thing is near Zaporizhia, you know, where the largest nuclear power plant in Europe is, and the head of the United Nations International Atomic Energy Authority, Mr. Grossi, Rafael Grossi, an Italian gentleman, he arrived there today, and the Russians initially wouldn't let him through. So he said he is very perturbed by the situation. The explosion of the Kakhovka Dam meant there's not enough water to cool it. And if that goes up, that'll be like Krakatoa, or like Chernobyl, not to use a metaphor. Chernobyl, which notoriously exploded in April 1986 in northern Ukraine, very close to the Belarusian border, when it was in the Soviet era. And the Soviet government lied and lied and lied about this, wouldn't give the evacuation order till it was too late. Several days had passed. Hundreds of people died in the explosion and the immediate fallout. Radioactivity killed at least 16,000 people over the next few years. Pregnant women often found that their babies were severely disabled. Some of them had abortions as a result. Some of these children were born with severe disabilities, all occasioned by this. And yes, disability exists anyway, but the rate of it was far, far higher than you'd expect. So there was just so much avoidable human suffering because basic safety standards were not adhered to. And Russia is obviously trying to haunt us with the specter of another Chernobyl. And would the West, would the wind go to the West? Can the radioactivity go to the East? Because of course it could affect Russia quite badly as well. But Putin doesn't care about the lives of his people. So the Russians have been using these Iranian manufactured Shahid drones, Shahid meaning martyr. Of course, the Iranians are lying their ass off and saying they've not sold any since the war began on the 24th of February 2022. They acknowledge they sold them prior to that. But, you know, Western countries not being smart with stick and carrot with Iran. Stop selling these and we'll ease off sanctions. Continue to sell them, there'll be airstrikes, something like that. But, you know, Iran's got very few friends in the world. So much though I detest the regime, you can't blame them for making a quick buck whilst they can. And because if you don't offer them legitimate trade, they're going to turn to this. Ukraine is increasingly confident about its air defenses. You know, took down all drones and a missile that tried to strike various cities, and some of these caliber missiles fired from a warship against Odessa, that Ukrainian city on the Black Sea coast. Often the Ukrainians are just reporting quite low civilian death tolls, like 3. I'd rather no deaths at all, particularly of civilians. And Russia's hitting civilian targets in almost every case. Now, sometimes this is incompetence rather than conspiracy. They actually want to hit an army base, but they're real second-rate weapons. They miss by a few hundred meters, even a few kilometers, because they can't afford the expensive guidance systems and so on. These are dumb bombs and dumb missiles. They don't have precision stuff. It's too expensive. They never had very much of it in the first place. They used the good stuff early in the war. But they hit Kryvyi Rih, I think it was on Tuesday. Now, it has no strategic significance beyond the fact that it is the birthplace of Volodymyr Zelensky. So I suspect that was actually sheer spite. And the head of the military administration of the city said that the rockets hit 2 industrial enterprises. They weren't part of the military complex at all. Now, they could have been trying to take down the Ukrainian economy. So is that a legitimate military target? Is that permissible? Well, it's debatable. Russia claimed they hit drone production sites, which might be true. And of course, if they were drone production sites, you wouldn't expect the Ukrainians to tell the truth about it. All right. Thank you so much for watching my channel. And obviously, in a way, surprising little's happening at the ground war. When's the real show going to begin? We don't know, actually. Sorry, I don't wish to be flippant calling it a show. All right. Toodaloo.